tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter number 3. Scripture we've been reading for a few Wednesday nights and trying to share with you about the judgment seat of Christ. How good it is to be saved. And yet what an awesome thought it is to meet the Lord Jesus Christ that went to Calvary for us and took our place. And we give an account to him. That should stir all of our hearts and cause all of us to want to think on that. I want you to stand with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. What a thought. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. May have works burned up, but works does not save nor unsave. Works are after salvation for the glory of God should be if we do them for the right reason. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege tonight we have to be in the house of God. Come together like this. Thank you for every person that's come. And Lord, sweet spirit that prevails and good testimonies been given and songs have been sung. And Lord, our prayers have been made and our hearts have been warmed. And Father, how good it is to be in the house of God tonight. We humble our hearts before you to say thank you and praise you. And Lord, help us to worship in truth and in spirit. I pray tonight now the Holy Ghost would illuminate our minds, help us to think, be able to say what needs to be said. And I pray, God, you take the word of God, speak to our hearts, deal with our lives individually, and have your way, and we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm looking now at this judgment seat of Christ, what we've been talking about and dealing with for some time now. And the Bible talks about five crowns. Now, let me again emphasize the fact, never do we preach that you work to get to heaven. You're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. It's all Jesus. He does the saving. Now, we have a choice to make what we do with him, but he does the saving. So we're not talking about that. But we're talking about after that we are saved, and then and the rapture comes, and then we go to the judgment seat of Christ, and there you won't be there unless you're saved. You're not going to be see if your good works outweigh your bad works, all that. You'll be there because you are saved, and then begin to answer to God for our works, whether they be wood, hay, stubble, and burn up, or whether it be gold, silver, precious stone, and endure the fire and come through and receive rewards. And I think a whole lot of that has to do with our motive behind it and what our real desire was, why we did what we did. And that's going to come out at the judgment seat of Christ. And I pray that God would help all of us realize the fact that we need to do whatever we do for the glory of God. And when you're doing it for the glory of God, it takes a lot of pressure off of you of trying to please somebody else. When you're doing it for the glory of God, that's what's really important anyhow. And we all like for people to enjoy what we're doing, if we're preaching or singing or teaching a class or whatever it is we're doing. We like for folk to at least get something out of it and be an enjoyment. We like to be a blessing to others. But the ultimate goal is to please him and to magnify him, that he gets glory and honor out of it. And God may lay something on my heart to preach that there may not be anybody in the house really enjoy as far as enjoying it. And one fellow went out one day and said, "Preacher, you stepped all over my toes." He said, "I'm sorry, I missed I was hitting for your heart. And so sometimes folk go out and say, we enjoyed it. And sometimes they just go out. And that's not bad all the time, because they may not have enjoyed a time he's there, because they might have got under conviction and really be hurting and go out like that. That's okay. I'd rather they got right with God and go out and get having the joy in their hearts, but I'd rather to go out like that than to go out and say I enjoyed it and nothing got to them. Amen. Of course, sometimes they say they enjoy it when they really didn't. You do too. I have. Hey, we're just confessing up tonight, amen. And I'm going to get me on that. But anyway, let's get back to the Word of God. Here we're talking about judgment seat now. And talking about those crowns. And five crowns we talked about. We talked about four of them already. And the incorruptible crown found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And an incorruptible crown is given for a disciplined life. I guess that's the best way to put it. Bringing our life under subjection and discipline and letting God help us with that. I talked about the tongue Sunday night. If you missed that, get the tape. But anyway, I talked about the tongue, and we have to deal with that. But none of us can bring a tongue in subjection of ourselves. We need help. We all need some help. Same way with our flesh, all of us. And that temperance of living has to do with that. And that's what that dealt with. In James chapter 2 and verse 15, I believe it is, we dealt with a crown of life and talked about those that come through and endure temptations. And that's temptation to do evil or temptation in the sense of trials that we overcome. And we talked about the crown for that. And I'm glad that there is a crown for that enduring and going through those things that you and I have to go through. Every person here, and it's been said many, many times, either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or heading for one. And so we're somewhere in that, some kind of a problem. Some storms come, it's just a bad downpour of rain. Sometimes a storm comes, it lightens and thunders. And sometimes the wind blows real hard. And sometimes it really gets bad and tornado. And so our lives, our problems that we face in our lives, sometimes they're like tornadoes. Sometimes they're just like a downpour of rain. But we all have something we're facing or going to face or have just come out of one or the other. And so we have those things that we have to deal with. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19 and 20, it talks about you are my crown and my joy. Talking about soul winner's crown. Paul had led these folk to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about leading people to Jesus and having receiving a crown for that. And there is a crown, or a soul winner's crown, to be had. And every one of us ought to desire that, have a desire to lead somebody to Jesus, a help in some way, invite, hand them a tract, pray for, get them to church, witness to them, take a Bible and lead them, pray with them, whatever it is. We have a part in bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in missions, we have a part in those missionaries that go to Mexico or in the prisons or out on the field preaching, wherever. We have a part in that as we pray for them and as we help them so they can go and be a part of what God is doing in the world. I'm glad we do, amen, in that. So thank God and praise God for that. Last week we talked about the crown of glory found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and talking about the shepherding part and receiving a crown of glory for being faithful in that. And we gave you three positive, three negatives, and we talked about. But tonight, I want you to turn with me, please, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I want to give you the fifth crown and deal with that just for a few minutes and pray that God would help us to do so. And if you're here tonight not saved, I pray God will speak to your heart and you'll see you need to be saved. And because if you don't go to the judgment seat of Christ with us because you're saved, then you'll go to the great white throne judgment. And we'll get that to a little bit later in our preaching, but not tonight, but some other time. But the Lord being our helper. But no matter what you think about it, we are judgment-bound people. People can say, well, I don't want to think about it. We may not want to think about it, but we must think about it. And if I preach the Word of God, I must preach about it because it is there. And you and I will one day stand before Jesus Christ. one way or the other. And so now in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and look at verse number 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And there is a crown of loving his appearing, the crown, he said, the crown of righteousness unto them also that love his appearing. So the crown of righteousness is for those who love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we hear much talked about the coming of the Lord from time to time, but I'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to back up in verse number 7. And look at that. I was reading this and thinking about it and thinking about this crown of righteousness he talked about. And he sometimes in these crowns, he not only puts one thing, but maybe something else with that one main thing. And I believe he does that in this crown he's talking about here. Because look at verse number 7. It says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth. That word henceforth means, because of what I just said, it's henceforth I shall receive a crown of righteousness. And not only me, but also all them that love his appearing. I believe he's saying this. Those who love his appearing are going to be what verse number 7 says. I have fought a good fight. Some people fight good fight, but they don't finish up the course right. And along the way, they fought some good fights. And they stood the ground on some things and did some things well, but then didn't finish right. But he said, I finished my course. He finished what God put him here to do. He didn't quit. He kept on. I say hallelujah. Praise God. Brother McIntosh tonight stirred my heart, blessed my heart. 81 years old, loves to come to the house of God, goes out, and many times has stopped by and said, preacher, I want to tell you how much I enjoyed being at the house of God today or tonight. And every time he does, his Holy Ghost chill runs up and down my spine, and I say, thank you, Lord. Coming from that man that through the years have been saved, loved God, has not grown weary and tired of the way. Now physically, his body's breaking down, and physically we all begin to break down, but down in his heart, down in his soul, they still bells are ringing. Down in there, they still joy. He's still finished running that course that God set for him. He hasn't given it up. He hasn't thrown in the towel. He's still going. Then said, I kept the faith. When it means kept the faith, it means kept himself saved. He means I kept believing what I'm supposed to be believing. I kept believing about the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I kept believing the word of God. I kept believing the prophets. I kept believing what God had given me. I kept believing that. I did not quit believing that. And I'll tell you right now, if you're saved any length of time, the devil will come by sometime, somewhere, or somebody, the devil will send by and try to get you to doubt some of those things that I just mentioned to you. And especially the coming of the Lord. Many say, where is the promise of his coming? He hadn't come yet. No, he hadn't come yet. We're still here. But he is coming. And there'll be those that'll make fun of that. And the devil trying to get you to doubt that. And there'll be thoughts running through your mind. Well, is that really true? And is that really going to happen? And then you'll think about things. Well, did Jonah really get swallowed up by that whale? Could that man really live 3 days and three nights down that fish and then get spit out and go to Nineveh? Did that really happen? Is that a made-up story? Did Job really lay out there like that, lose all his children one time? Did really all that happen? Did the flood really come and God just opened up deep and heavens opened up and whole world got flooded? Did that really happen? Let me say to you tonight, I believe with all my heart, as much as I stand in this pulpit and hold this book in my hand, Jonah got swallowed up by the fish. I believe that the flood came like God said. Amen. I believe it happened to Job just like God said it did. I believe Jesus born of a virgin just like he said he was. I believe he went to the cross and died just like he said he did for my sin. I believe he's buried, rose again the third day just like he said he did. I believe he ascended back unto the Father just like he said he did. I believe he's coming back just like he said he would. And so I've got all that settled. And but doubts and fears will come from time to time, and the devil will see to it that you have some things that you have to wrestle with. But oh, let me encourage you to stay in the book, stay close to God, stay in the church, and let God help you day by day, and the power of God will help you and stir you and keep you in that joy that Brother McIntosh shared a while ago. And you can share with, and all of us can share in. And we are just as saved as he saved. And but let's let that joy stay there and there like he did. And let's keep going for him. Like he's a challenge to our hearts to keep on keeping on for the glory of God. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. I'm excited about it. Amen. And thank God for the reality of God himself. And tonight you say, preacher, why are you excited? Because God's real. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven, we sing about. I'm thankful for it, and I want to worship him. Amen. That's why God put me here. And when I worship him, it does something for the inside. Helps the man on the inside. Encourages my heart. And we come together and sing, and I look over the house, and I see you here, and I see you listening. At least you act like you are. And that's good. Amen. If you don't listen, at least act like you do. That helps. I'm kidding with you. Good to see you smile. Amen. Everybody needs a smile. And it helps us all down the road, amen. But we do listen to the word of God. That encourages my heart. And then as you fellowship one with another and see others in the house of God, it encourages your heart. And God can help you. And tonight, if you're not right with God, it'd certainly be a blessing and a desire in my heart to see you saved. But here he said in verse number 7, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but not which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. That day. Don't have time to preach that day, but that day. That day of judgment. That day he's going to do that, not to me only, but also all them that love his appearing. And so we're going to talk about loving his appearing tonight and just give you a little bit about that and say, thank God, Jesus is coming again. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing, the great God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:28 talks about the fact that so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And so as we look for him, and 1 John 3 talks about, as we expecting his coming, talks about that by every man that is doing that will purify himself, even as he's pure, so it helps our living as we look for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're really looking for Jesus, did you know it affects your life? If you're really expecting Jesus to come any day, any time, and any moment, it will affect what you do. It will affect how you act. It will affect what you say. Because you realize the fact that any moment I may go out of here and you're not going to have time to fix anything up. You're not going to have time to say, I'm sorry about this or that, or I wish I'd have went and saw this one. I wish I'd have prayed more for that one. I wish I'd have got that in the church. I wish I'd really put myself into that, whatever I was doing more. I wish I'd give more of myself to that. They're not going to be in time for that. The only time we have for that is right now while we live in this life. He's going to come. It's going to be over with. And we're going to go. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is really coming again? Amen. Do you believe he's really coming any moment of time? Do you believe that? Amen. Do we really believe that Jesus Christ is coming again? Those shepherds, those wise men, when we talk about the coming of Jesus the first time, those angels appeared and said, that he's born. They got real excited because he's already born then. But those wise men, I believe, had seen the star and started heading that way and before he's ever born. But I'm thinking this tonight, that you and I need to realize the fact that Jesus is coming, and we all be excited about his coming again as they were about him coming the first time. You talk about a generation that has lived to be a privileged generation. It's our generation that we live in. We have greater means to get the gospel out than we've ever had. We have opportunities that other generations did not have. And God has let us live in a generation that I believe will see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I are in a generation that can cry out to the world that Jesus is coming and warn them like John the Baptist did before Jesus came the first time. He said, repent, get ready, he's coming. And you and I can say, repent, get ready, he's coming again. And so somebody said you could sum up all the Bible with these three thoughts. Jesus is coming. Jesus has come. Jesus is coming again. And sum it all up, and that's it. I want to say to you tonight, I'm glad he's coming again. Amen. I'm looking for his coming. He's going to step out and shout, be made to trump sound. The dead in Christ rise first. We which are alive and may be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. And leave out of here. Can you imagine getting a glorified body and doesn't have a pain, doesn't have an ache, and knows no sorrow, no heartaches, no disappointments? Can you imagine living in a body like that? I can't quite take it all in, but what I can take in, I sure do like it. I'm excited about it. Amen. I'm ready to trade in move on in a new body and one that can take it all and go on. We've been some searching around here. I thought I was going to have a new body or die one. Amen. And you've been services like that where it got so good you didn't know what to do nor how to do. In fact, it got so good in one Jubilee over here. We had a young lady from Maryland. She had to go to the heart doctor that night because she got so excited. Hey, man, she later had heart surgery and got it fixed up, but the excitement brought it on. She was so excited about what was happening around here that it literally affected her heart. Your body can't take but so much. Of course, she had a defect in her heart. But you and I, our hearts may be good, but they're affected. Amen. You say, well, preacher, maybe we don't have not have such good service. I believe God took care of her. He'll take care of us. Amen. Can you think of a better way to die than having a heart attack in service? I can't think of a better way to go than having a heart attack and a great big service shouting, praising God. Can you think of a better way to leave out of here outside the coming of the Lord Jesus in the air? That'd be the best way to go. I'd like to be preaching him come. But anyway, whatever I'm doing when he comes, it's going to be a great and wonderful time. Somebody said in one church, somebody died one morning. They called the rescue squad and picked up three bodies before they got right one. I wouldn't want to go have a service like that now. I don't want to go have a service when you can't tell which one's dead. Amen. I want to go have a service when everybody, they know something going on, whether they're into it or not. Have you ever noticed when it really gets on and really gets good, even those folk is not saved, they're bright-eyed and looking around or weeping one, and they're disturbed because they don't know what's going on, but they know something going on. And they get excited about it. And I'm saying, praise God, we ought to get excited about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming back, and he's going to take us out of here. So he once died for us, but he's coming back for those who look for him. In Revelation 22 and 20, Jesus said this, he which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. You know what amen means? So be it. He said it, amen himself. Back over in Revelation 1:18, he said, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. He amened himself there. He amened himself there in Revelation 22 and 20 and said, surely I come quickly. Amen. And John responded back, even so come, Lord Jesus. I mean, he got excited about seeing what's going to happen. He just said, come on, Jesus. And Jesus encouraging him, and he got excited and got caught up in it himself and said, come, Lord Jesus. Our prayer ought to be, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly and pray for his coming. Amen. You see, I got somebody who gets saved. There'll be more unsaved tomorrow than there are today. I know there's people here tonight that's got lost loved ones. There's people here tonight that my heart cries for because I want to see your loved ones come. I want to see my loved ones come. I want to see everybody come in and get in and get saved and get right with God and be ready to go when Jesus comes. But there'll be more saved every day that we live. There's more unsaved that's going to be than there are saved. That's easily... You don't have to argue that point. You can look around and tell that. And so we need to be stirred about his coming again. He's coming again. But I want to wind it up tonight like this. I'm not saying a whole lot about the coming itself because you've heard me preach it. I'm saying it again. He's coming in there. Soul, spirit's coming with him. The body's coming, a resurrected body coming out of the ground. They're meeting somewhere in the ground or in between there. Somewhere that soul, spirit, and body is going to be united. But that body's going to be glorified. Not decayed, but glorified. And meet Jesus, or meet the loved ones in the clouds, meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be with the Lord. Now, that's an exciting thought. Yeah, yeah. Just think about it. It's going to happen in a moment, twinkle of an eye. And dead in Christ arise first. We which are alive be changed in a moment, twinkle of an eye. And then we'll meet the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God, what a homecoming that'll be. What a time. What a time. I want you to turn with me in Revelation 4, chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. I want to share with you what we're going to do with those crowns. You say, you know, there's a song that says, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. That sounds good, sounds humble. And I'm sure the songwriter probably meant it that way. But really, that's not what it is. And we ought to have a greater desire than that. Lord, just build me. What he was saying was, we're none of us worthy even getting to heaven, much less have a cabin or a mansion either. So our worthiness has nothing to do with this. But we ought to want to have an abundant entrance into heaven. We ought to want to have some joy at the judgment seat, some crowns given to us at the judgment seat, being faithful, being that God would have us to be in the things we've talked about. Look in verse number 10 and 11 of Revelation 4. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying. Now notice, if you please, those 24 elders speak of the 12 and tribes in the Old Testament, speaks of the New Testament apostles, speaks of Old Testament saints in type, New Testament saints in type. And so all those saved, all those who are there by the grace of God and receive crowns, will cast their crowns before the throne, saying. Now, chapter 4, verse 1 is a rapture of the church. And here's a scene in heaven, chapter 4 and chapter 5. And they're worshiping God. And they sing that song about worshiping God. We worship down here, but we never have perfectly worshiped yet. But oh, when we get to glory, we'll perfectly worship. And then he said, cast their crowns. And can you imagine why others casting their crowns down before the Lord Jesus? And you stand there empty-handed. The song says, must I empty-handed go? Must I go in that way? He's saying here we have crowns to cast down because he received. Where are you going to get them? If you don't get them at the judgment seat of Christ, you don't have any crowns. And so we want to receive crowns. That's not a selfish desire, but it is a desire we have to have something, something to lay at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, to worship him. And verse number 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Everything was created for his glory. And God gave himself for us. And then we get to go to heaven. And then we get to bow before him. I'd like to have something. I'd like to have a crown I could lay down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? I'm thinking back on several jubilees ago when Brother Larry Beaver was preaching one night here, one day service or night, I don't remember which, but he was preaching about the crown, and he had me to come up off the front seat and stand up here. Y'all remember that? And he's talking about the judgment seat. He put a crown on my head. And I stood there a few minutes, but all I could think about, what am I going to do with this crown? I turned around and saw that cross back there. I walked back there, took that crown off and laid it down that window, and the place like to lost it. Amen. I like to lost myself. I just had hip surgery, and I ran toward that stand right there, and God reminded me, son, you just had a hip replace. You better stop it right there. Now, I believe God would have helped me if I'd have jumped it, but he gave me better sense, I guess. I didn't do that, but I got excited. I got stirred to think it would be something I would have to lay at his feet. The closest thing I had down here on this earth to think about was that cross up there. It reminded me of what Jesus did for me. And I say tonight, and if I got that thrill that night in Jubilee, I can you think of the thrill and the joy at the feet of Jesus? At the very feet of him that loved you and gave himself for you. Don't that do something in your heart to cause you to want to be faithful and cause you want to do what God wants you to do. And so you can do your, hey, it's not having great abilities. It's not being some superstar some kind in the Christian realm. It's just being what you can be for the glory of God and letting God use you where you are and being faithful what God's given you to, as talent, and letting God do that he wants to do in your life, whatever that may be. And God will reward you in that day. And then you can lay your crown at the feet of Jesus and say, glory, thank you, Jesus. Worthy's the Lamb. That's what you'd be saying. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the thought of receiving a crown and crowns and laying them at the feet of Jesus. Lord, I realize the fact that that possibility lays with us. But Father, what we do with what you've given us and how you've blessed us and how we react to what you want us to do and how faithful we are and our love for you here on this earth. And Father, I pray you'd help us and forgive us of all those distractions and those things that hurt us, and those things that hinder us from doing what we need to do in the regions we need to be doing them. Father, thinking about that day when Jesus shall come, that crown of righteousness for all those who love his appearing. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, the writer of Revelation said. Lord, we join with Brother John and say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Help us while we're here. You said, occupy till I come. Lord, help us be busy about your business till you get here. And Father, tonight, in this house, over this house, these people, every individual is important. Every individual is someone that you loved and died for and rose for, ascended for. And I pray tonight you speak to all of our hearts. Thank you for what you do. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Won't you stand, please?